I've been going to carol service all of my life, and I really look forward to our carol services. I got to a stage in life where I was really bored of singing carols really, really slowly and at great length, and just like the dirge of the carol service. And our musicians never do that, and they're just an absolute wonderful delight. And so thankful to you, Des, for what you shared from your own story and encouraging us. And Wadu, thank you for singing so beautifully earlier on as well. Thank you for coming, and thank you for joining in this joyful Christmas worship this evening. Our theme throughout Christmas, you'd have seen it on the window as you came into our building this evening, is this: the King is coming. The King is coming. Jesus will come again. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the fact that he has come. And the mood and the atmosphere of the moment is that we are looking forward to celebrating the fact that he came, with that sense of he's coming. And we look forward to celebrating and knowing that joy afresh within our own hearts. And there really is nothing like a really good carols by candlelight, with all the lighting and with the wonderful singing and the beautiful refreshments and people talking to one another and sharing with one another, to hit the mood, to get the atmosphere, to get that sense of expectation and hope and excitement and, dare I say, magic. That's what we need, that longing in our hearts. I don't know about you, but I really do need the sense of all that this evening delivers to us in terms of our senses and what we're seeing and hearing and enjoying and singing together. Aren't you longing for something better than the world out there? Aren't you longing for something better than the year that you've just lived? I think that's probably true for most of us, isn't it? Something more positive. This year has been marked by wars. Ongoing war in Ukraine and Russia, Israel, Palestine and Lebanon, and now Syria. Millions of people across the world crushed and hurt and fleeing for safety in other countries. Riots this past year across the United Kingdom. Cost of living crisis. And then, of course, there is our own personal pain and grief and tragedy and sickness and depression and despair and loneliness and damaged hopes. And all of that piles up, doesn't it? And we go, what do? We long for more. We long for what we are experiencing this evening, that sense of magic and anticipation. We long for something, dare I say it, from outside of ourselves to come and to help us. And it is into all of that Christmas comes. The King is coming. The King has come. And the way that he came and the names that he has tell us exactly what kind of King it is that we need. Jesus is the exact King that you need and that our world needs. First of all, there was his miraculous birth. And I'm just focusing in on just a few things from our Christmas reading from Matthew chapter 2. Verse 18 said this: Mary was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. We're talking here about the virgin birth. Some of us were here this morning and we had Matthew chapter 1, the first part, read up to where our reading started this evening. And most of that is a long list of names of men who had sons, who begat other sons. And it's a very, and there are four or five women in it who are there for profound truth of what kind of God this is. Those women in that genealogy tell a story. But it is men having sons. And then Matthew interrupts the whole story by saying, we get to Joseph, and he has a son, Jesus, but he's not the father. And we're into the sense of the other world. Something has happened which is extraordinary. Mary's fiancé struggled to believe in the virgin birth. He was the first to hear about it, and he was the first not to believe it. And so the whole miraculous thing that had been happening with Mary widened to him as well. He gets a visit himself from the angel at night time, when his guard is down, when he has no control at all, when actual fact, positively, it's completely outside of his control. God comes into his life sending his angel, that is God's personal angel, personal messenger, to explain it all to Joseph. So the whole thing cannot be explained. It is otherworldly. There are angels and virgin birth. This is an extraordinary moment. The king comes, and he is from completely outside of every normal category. He's beyond human calculation. No earthly father is involved in his birth. There's no family planning. The king is born of the Holy Spirit, God's involvement. The Holy Spirit, honored at creation, hovering over the water at the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, as God creates the world. The Holy Spirit who parts the Red Sea as God's people escape from slavery in Egypt, in the Exodus. And then that same Holy Spirit who revealed God's words to his people over centuries. Here he is again, creating and bringing about something entirely new that comes from entirely outside of ourselves. A new king, a new salvation, a whole new world has begun. The king is coming, and his birth is miraculous. And I'll be really honest, I'm into my 61st year, and I've been a minister for 32 years. And I think this is my first Christmas when I'm going all out and saying to my own heart, I am not going to try and give you all sorts of really good, clued up reasons to explain the virgin birth and all the other stuff. It's beyond science. And I'm going to come out that and say that straight. You cannot explain it. That's exactly what it is. An astonishing and an extraordinary miracle. Science has to bow to its creator who comes into the world. And the reason is because that is what we need. Look at the world around us. The world in which we live, we are exhausted and helpless, are we not? Human imagination has failed. What else can we come up with and create to solve the world's problems? Nothing. We've been trying for centuries and delivering zip. All the wisdom and the best ideas and solutions we've ever had have not succeeded. Darkness prevails. Lives are shut down in depression. And that affects us all in varying degrees. And carols by candlelight tell us about another world, a world of hope, heaven and earth, and the king coming from elsewhere, because we cannot save ourselves. We need the miracle of the virgin birth and the Lord Jesus Christ coming from elsewhere, because we cannot save ourselves. He is just the kind of Savior that we need. He has come. And his two names are wonderful, miraculous names. The first one, Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Verse 21 of our reading from Matthew said this, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Other kings and queens and rulers and emperors like to be called very different names to the Lord Jesus. Jesus came and he was glad to be called a servant. In fact, he would say, very famously indeed, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Other kings like to be called the Great, or the Conqueror, or the Magnificent. But the Son of God was content to be called Saviour. And the way he saved was through serving. Content to be meek and gentle and humble. To come and save us from guilt and shame, washed away and cleansed by his atoning sacrifice upon the cross, saved from the power of sin's rule over our habits and our lives, bringing change to us because he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives. Ultimately, to be saved when he comes again from the very presence of sin in the new heaven and the new earth, in our eternal, with our eternal bodies, where there will be no more sin. Saved from troubled consciences and given inner peace and joy. Saved from despair and hopelessness. Saved ultimately from poverty and sickness and injustice and hunger and cruelty. Saved ultimately, we will be, from all abuse and bullying and gaslighting when he returns. The King is coming. He will come and we will rejoice and we will be free. He is coming. What a miraculous name, Saviour. The miracle name of the miracle King, Saviour. His second name, Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 23, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. What a beautiful, beautiful name. This name underlines and it emphasizes the great miracle that Jesus was, and I'm not going to try and explain it to you. It's the God you need, the God who became a man, and the man Jesus is everything like you. But he's 100% different to you because he's everything like God in the same person, Jesus. He is fully man and he is fully God. Man, the Son of Mary, 100% like you and me. He got weary and hungry and thirsty and sad. And the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He felt and he experienced all that we feel and all that we experience. So that when we pray to him, we can pour out our hearts and hold nothing back because he knows. Because he knows. He can empathize and sympathize in the very depth of his being. He has experienced these things himself. He's walked on earth. And when he walked on earth, he showed up with people who needed him. And he served them. He served lepers. He touched people who were untouchable. And in the culture then, if you touched someone untouchable, you became unclean. But he reached out and touched, and they became clean. And he did not become unclean. But he served with his mighty power in that way. He drew alongside the blind and the lame and the hungry and the broken and the bereaved and the burdened. He is man, Son of Mary. But he is also Emmanuel, God with us, born of the Holy Spirit of God, 100% unlike you and unlike me, with his power and his sinlessness and his perfection. He's the very presence of God. And as he walked this earth, he gives a glimpse of what reality will be in the new heaven and the new earth. We get a flavor and a taste as we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of what the second coming will be like. The power to heal from all sickness, to cast out evil completely so that it's gone forever. The power over all nature to calm the storm and, best of all, to raise the dead. His very God with us presence has made new and eternal life not just possible, but a reality. Just as Wadu sang from her heart earlier on, and as Des shared his own Christian Christmas story earlier, the King is coming. His birth had to be miraculous. We needed him to come from outside of ourselves because that's what we need rescuing. We're in the sea and drowning. We need someone on a ship to come and save us. I don't need someone struggling next to me to save me. They're likely to help drown me. That's our world. We need the Savior from outside of ourselves. We can't do anything. It is beyond us. And as I draw to a conclusion, I want to say this. Our Bible reading from Matthew's Gospel asks nothing of you to do. As Des said earlier on, there's something to receive and to take and say thank you. And to receive the gift of this wonderful King in our hearts, this invitation into our marred lives and all of its consequences. A wonderful, miraculous King has come, and he's come to save you and to save me. And when we feel abandoned, and when we feel lonely and isolated, and when we feel desperate and in the dark, we don't just remember his name, Jesus, Savior. We remember Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. You are never alone when you know this miraculous King. So tonight, I repeat what Des said earlier on, may we all know him and receive him in our hearts with rejoicing and gladness and humility and wonder. We've got an opportunity to do that as we come to our final hymn, our final carol, our final song. We sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And as we sing those words, we join them in singing praise to our miraculous Savior, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's stand and let's sing together.